Marty Lurie here as we get ready for Giants baseball, joined by Mike Farron. Always a pleasure to see this guy, fans. Pre and post game on the Arizona Diamondbacks Network, the radio network, and of course, I'll let him say it, but it's MLB Radio, MLB Network. My God, I'll tell you, if you're driving around in the car listening to Sirius XM Channel 82... 89, Mad Dog is 82. 89, you want to listen to this guy in the morning because he is terrific. Mike, nice to have you.
It's great to see you, Marty. It's always, I love when we get together a couple of times during the course of the year, but it's always great to see you in person.
Well, you've been all over the Cactus League, and of course, you know the Diamondbacks, so I thought for the fans it would be great to take us through the Cactus League and the National League West just a little bit, and I thought we'll do a little what could happen to be good, and what could be bad about the teams that we have in the National League West?
I think it sounds great. I mean, this is we're in Giants camp today. This is our last stop on it. So, it should be an interesting division overall. You want to start with the Dodgers?
Why not?
You know they're going to be pretty good, right? What do they have to do to be good? Roll the baseballs out. I think that's really it. I mean, I'm not sure that I see a path to them missing the postseason. I don't really know that I see a path to them not winning the division. I think they're really, really good. If there's one, you know, I like to use the analogy kind of like in Star Wars, you know, there's the Death Star has the one little flaw the size of a womp rat, right? If there's one little concern with them, I think it has to do with their starting pitching depth. I think that's where the concern is because, you know, they traded away Kenta Maeda. They lost both Rich Hill and Hyunjin Ryu to free agency. They are a little bit more unproven towards the middle of the rotation. Kershaw's clearly had injury history. You know, David Price has had some injuries, but that was, as good an acquisition as Mookie Betts was, David Price is former Cy Young Award winner, too. But what happens with Julio Urias and what happens at the back of that rotation, that might be the one area where I would be concerned, but they're so deep on the position player side. And this might be the best collection of talent that they've had in the last 8 years, which is incredible, because they've won the last seven division titles. So I think that there's not very much that is going to prevent them from getting back to the postseason.
How good is Gavin Lux?
I think he's got a chance to be very good. Dave Roberts thinks he's going to be a multiple-time All-Star. And I think, you know, Lux is a real a baseball gamer. I remember seeing him as an amateur. He's much stronger now than he was in high school. And I was a little bit surprised when the Dodgers took him in the first round because I felt like he was a guy that goes to college for 3 years and then becomes a top pick. He had a strong commitment to Arizona State. He's from southeast Wisconsin. His uncle was Augie Schmidt, who you may remember. He played at Arizona State, was a former number two overall pick, and never made the big leagues, but has been the coach at Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin for years. And so Gavin has grown up around the game, but he has good instincts. He's a very good hitter. I think he's going to be an excellent second baseman. I think he probably could play shortstop, but their shortstop's pretty good. I mean, that's why the Lindor rumors didn't make any sense to me this winter. Like, what are you going to do with Corey Seager? That guy's really good, and he's had a normal winter, you know, after having Tommy John and hip surgery the year before. So, like, I think that I think he's got a chance to be a really impactful offensive player, but that's can be said up and down their lineup. I mean, they have, I think Mike Petriello at MLB.com did the research that they are projected to have 10 above average offensive regulars on their roster, and there's only eight spots, really. So they're going to be devastating. We're going to have to see them a lot.
Yes, we do. We get to see them a lot. 76 games in the National League West, 19 against each opponent. Mike Farron with us. Well, that's the Brooklyn Dodgers. Okay, that's the boys of summer are back. All right, we got them. All right, let's go to your team, Arizona. What could happen that's really good, or what could happen that, my goodness, that's bad? And
well,
how about Bumgarner?
I mean, I think, Bumgarner, first of all, he's had a huge impact. I mean, you were around him. He is a total professional. He's taken an interest in Zach Gallen almost immediately, who, you know, Diamondbacks got in a trade at the deadline last year, who I think in the end Gallen is going to be their best pitcher this year. So I think, you know, if things go well, they're deep in the rotation. Merrill Kelly, who actually was the guy that led the staff in innings last year, probably doesn't make the rotation as it stands right now, barring injury, unless Mike Leake is dealing with a little bit of a left wrist issue, might miss a start or two, but Kelly might be ticketed to the bullpen. Alex Young, who pitched really well last year as a rookie, might even be ticketed to AAA to start in Reno, and that was a guy who had an ERA in the threes last year. So, their starting pitching depth is really good, and they have addressed some weaknesses. They really did not get any offensive production out of the corner outfield spots last year. David Peralta is healthy, just got a contract extension. Signing Cole Calhoun was big in that regard. They traded for Starling Marte, which lets Ketel Marte go back to the infield, which increases the infield defense with him and Ahmed up the middle. And I think Starling Marte is a guy that is a little bit underrated as a player. I mean, he's a very good offensive player. He's been a solid defender throughout his career. So I think there's some real positives there. If things don't go well for them, the second half of the lineup, I think, is something to view with some skepticism. Calhoun is coming off a career year. I think he's going to be solid and certainly an upgrade over what they had, but how much production do you get there? What can Christian Walker do again? What is the real Carson Kelly? You know, you're not going to get a ton of offensive production out of Nick Ahmed, but that would be one of the concerns. And I think health is still an issue in the rotation. You know, Luke Weaver missed 4 months last year with an elbow issue, didn't need surgery. He's back. He hasn't been sharp in his first couple of starts in spring, but it's spring. But if he were to miss time, even though they have depth, that's a real significant starter. So that, the bullpen, I think there's some question marks in terms of ahead of Archie Bradley. But I think it's a good team. And I'm not just saying that because I wear Sedona red-colored glasses, but I think it's a good team. I think that there are more paths to them struggling than maybe there are with the Dodgers. Certainly.
All right. We got the Dodgers, and then we got the Diamondbacks. Let's go to what could be a surprise team, and I guess that's the Padres. Who knows? I don't even know who the manager is. I can't figure that out.
Well, Jace Tingler is a baseball lifer. He's come through the Rangers organization. Really sharp guy. I mean, if things go well for them, I mean, they've upgraded their lineup. Tommy Pham is a really good player that they acquired from Tampa Bay. I still don't understand why the Rays traded him. And they upgraded what was a pretty strong bullpen to begin with by signing Drew Pomeranz and trading for Emilio Pagan from the Rays. And Pagan was one of the best relievers in the American League last year. Their rotation could be strong if Dinelson Lamet comes back healthy. I mean, he's a real strikeout artist. They have Garrett Richards there, too, who has been an All-Star and a Cy Young caliber pitcher in the past, and they have one of the top pitching prospects in Mackenzie Gore coming. So, with Fernando Tatis Jr. healthy and, what seems like a motivated Manny Machado, like that could be a really good group. If it falls apart, it's going to be because they don't have the depth in the rotation. Not all the pieces fit together on the roster, which has been one of the issues that they've had over the last couple of years. And I think that they might not be quite ready for prime time. They're going to have some spots that they're going to run out there where they're probably going to get below average production, whether at first base with Hosmer or where Will Myers plays might be closer to average production than below, but I don't know that they're going to be that deep. They're not going to get a lot of offense out of catcher, and I think they still have a lot of question marks that need to be answered. But there is talent there, and there's talent in that organization that they are the team, I think, in the National League that could be the biggest surprises overall.
No, I agree with that. Mike Farron with us, of course, a great report. Paddock is the other guy,
the big boy,
who could be a starting pitcher, could be a star for them. All right, Colorado Rockies with Nolan Arenado. Does he stay the whole season? My God, that's the big news out of Colorado. Nolan Arenado, come on, what happened there?
I mean, it just, they didn't do anything to improve the roster over the course of the winter. And I think that was really frustrating for a guy who, one of the reasons he signed there was because he wanted to win. And he felt like they had made that commitment. I mean, they have some good talent, Arenado, Story, Herman Marquez, John Gray. Those are all talented players. David Dahl. That's a good core to build from, but their depth is really thin, and that's where I think that they probably fall short. Now, their owner has also put down the gauntlet that they're going to win 94 games this year. Apparently, he forgot that when they had, when they won the pennant in 07, had a rough year in 08, and won in 09, that they had added, like, Cargo in 2009, who was pretty darn good. I think that there's a disconnect there. That's a disappointing group to me, because I like some of the talent in their starting rotation. I just don't like their depth at all.
Coming off a bad year for the Rockies, bad year. But Bud Black, he always knows what he's doing, and it's always pitching for them. Starting pitching, bullpen, and all that.
I'll say this. I don't care for the second half of their offense. I think that's one of the things that gets underrated. They're a very aggressive offensive team. They don't work counts. They don't really grind out at bats. And so outside of the guys at the top of the lineup, Blackman, Arenado, Story, Dahl, who are really good, it falls apart very, very quickly. And that, to me, is one of those concerns that it gets glossed over because they play their home games in Colorado, so their run scored totals are huge. The second half of their lineup is an issue. I think on par par with their lack of rotational bullpen depth.
Yeah. Daniel Murphy's another one. Yeah. Will he come back as well? All right, which brings us to the San Francisco Giants. Who knows? It's, as you've been in the camp here, it's a different attitude.
Yeah, it's a lot different with Boach gone and with Gabe Kapler here. I mean, I think, you know, depth is a concern here. I think if things were to go right, it would have to be everybody staying healthy. You would need, you know, the Drew Smyly that showed up the last 2 months or last month of last year to be that guy in the rotation, and you'd need the Kevin Gausman from the first month of last year in Atlanta. And I think that that's possible. I'm a big Gausman fan. I always have been. Terrific guy, too. So I think, you know, those couple of things with a healthy Cueto and a healthier Jeff Samardzija, who feels like he could finally go through a regular winter. I mean, you can see that. The bullpen should, you know, has some questions with the young guys, but they could be decent. You know, they need Mike Yastrzemski to repeat what they did last year. They need to find a little bit more offensive consistency out of the four veteran guys, you know, that are really important, and Mauricio Dubon to really lock down second base. And, you know, we were talking about this when we make predictions. I don't think the Giants are going to be a team that makes the postseason this year, but you at least can see a scenario where if everything goes right, and it has to be a lot to go right, that they can catch lightning in the bottle and be in competition for a wild card spot. So I don't know if there's lightning to capture in the bottle, and they kind of need to do that, but they have a number of competitive players, and I don't think they're going to – I love that they're not punting a season, too. I mean, they're it's not like they're going for it. They know that they're in a transition mode, but they're also not scaling it down to try and lose 110 games.
Yeah. For me, it's the veterans coming back and having good – I mean, real seasons. Do they have any left in them? Belt is probably the only guy. When you get a hit, you say, okay, Belt got a hit. When Posey gets a hit, you go, hey, Posey got a hit. So it's a little bit of that. But to catch lightning in a bottle, it would have to be a large thunderstorm for this team to be in there. They got a long way to go. But look, that's baseball. That's why we love it. That's why we love
it. And I will say, I think that their, you know, their farm system is in better shape than it was 2 years ago. And, and it's made some significant strides. And when guys like Joey Bart start coming up, like, that's going to have a pretty sizable impact.
Yeah, the guy for me in the camp I enjoy watching is Sean Jelly.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, 6 foot 11 and a half from Kentucky. And Mike, I'll tell you, Mike Farron, when he's on the mound, it looks like he's been there before.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Friday starter in the SEC. I mean, those guys have – they face a pretty high level of competition in that college that college conference. I think he's a guy that certainly teams were interested in the draft because, you know, he had the size and velocity and, you know, everything that you really liked about a potential frontline pitcher. And it's just a matter of whether or not he can repeat his delivery consistently at his size. But, yeah, he's another one of those names. I mean, we could go down the list, and what the Giants have done internationally is really impressive as well. Like, they're in good position to probably 2 or so years down the road start being on the path back. I actually don't think it's going to be, you know, like 3 or 4 years down. I think it's a couple years because they also have better financial resources than just about anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, their salary in about 2 years will be yours and mine combined. That'll be about it. That's where they're going. And Sean Jelly, he can't dunk. I will tell you that. They brought him out at halftime, I think, at Rupp Arena, and he tried to dunk. It didn't happen, or some story like that. So but he's a great kid, a great kid. Mike, a pleasure. I must tell you, I enjoy listening to you all the time. And you know the game so cold, and you're a real, real asset for the Diamondbacks. So I appreciate it. So let everyone know where they can hear you during the week.
I appreciate you saying that. I love you too, Marty. It's great to see you, and I always love coming on with you. You can catch us on SiriusXM. Jim Duquette is here with me. He's my regular partner. We're on 7 a.m. Pacific on MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM, and then with the Diamondbacks if you want to hear the responsible opposing viewpoint to the Giants.
I love it. He's the best, Mike Farron. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.